We are starting a new year, and this year is going to be titled or themed as Striving Together for the Faith of the Gospel. And you're going to see flyers, and you're going to see a big banner up over here on the wall here real soon that's going to be describing the theme of this year. I believe it's going to be a blessed time. I believe it's going to be a great time in the Lord. Messages are going to be geared around that theme throughout the whole year. We have to understand this simple truth. We are not in our Christian journey by ourselves. We are in this together. And as a body of believers, we are not alone. The Lord is with us. And we are not an island all by ourselves. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that are there to help us. The same was true with the children of Israel. God used a man by the name of Moses to bring them out of bondage, to lead them through the wilderness for 40 years. And then God said, "You're not going to enter the promised land. I've got a new leader." And that leader's name was Joshua. And Joshua led them into the promised land. And that's where Joshua chapter number 1 picks up. Moses is gone. Moses is dead. There's a new leader. The children of Israel are fearful about the future. By the way, aren't we all? Don't we all have our own reservations about what tomorrow holds? Just thinking about the next 2 years of this presidency scares most people to death. Matter of fact, we said that about the former presidency. And it seems like everyone that gets into office, we're fearful about what's going to happen. I'm glad that our future is not based upon what happens on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Our future is based upon what God has said is going to happen in heaven. Amen? And that's where our future and that's where our hope has to be. But this morning I want you to notice what it says in Joshua chapter number 1 this morning. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan." You ought to underline that. That is the key verse behind the whole book of Joshua. Arise and go over this Jordan. You see, God did not want them to stay in the world. God wanted them to go forward in their life. Go to the place that God had intended for them to be. And God does not want you to stay in the past. He does not want you to stay in 2013 or 2012 or 2011 or maybe some former year that you think that was the best year of my life. I'm here to tell you, God wants you to go ahead and forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. Amen. God's got a future, a blessed future for me and for you. And I believe as a child of God, we need to strive together to get to the place where God wants us to be. Amen? And it says here in verse number 2, "Arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, in the land which I will give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place of the sole of the foot shall tread upon, the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the going under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have," everybody, "success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that you'd help us. Lord, as we strive together to be at the place where You'd have us to be, help us, Lord, to help one another. And help us, Lord, as a body of believers to glorify God. Guide and direct. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. After 40 years of wilderness wandering, the children of Israel were ready to cross over to the promised land. God had a plan and a purpose for them. It's found in verse 2. He said, "Arise and go over to this Jordan." Where did they come from? Well, they just came from the wilderness wanderings. Why did they wander for 40 years? Because of sin. God did not want them to stay in that place. That place of defeat. He did not want them to stay in Egypt. That was the place of the world. And for the child of God today, I really believe God does not want you to stay in the place of defeat, nor does He want you to stay in the place of the world. God wants you to go ahead and move forward into the place where God wants you to be, and that is the promised land. Amen? And spiritually speaking, there is a place of God's blessings that God has got designed for you. If you think that the best part of your spiritual life was sometime at some point in the past, and you'll never get there again, that's a sad place to be. We ought to be striving to be closer to God this year than we've ever been. We ought to go ahead and strive to be more involved in serving God than what we've ever been. And if you think, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and slide by the rest of my life, that is called, yes, it's called sliding, but it's not sliding towards God, it's sliding away from God. That's called backsliding. Amen? We need to go ahead and slide forward for God, if there's such a thing. God had a plan and a purpose for them. Arise and go over this Jordan. God wanted them to be blessed, and God wanted them to be happy, and God wanted them to be successful. The Scripture reveals that they were one body of people. If one was blessed, they were all blessed. We remember the story of Achan and how Achan stole the accursed thing and one was cursed. And it affected the whole nation and the whole nation was cursed. May I remind you, we are one body of people. And as one body of people, I believe God wants a blessing upon us all. But you know, if one person gets sideways with God, and all of a sudden the curse of God falls on them, you know it'll affect everybody. And God wants us all. He wants us all to have the blessings of God on our life. If one is cursed, the whole body will suffer. As it was true for the nation of Israel, so it is true for us today. As a body of believers, let's strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let's strive together to go ahead and help draw close to God. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Listen, don't count it something horrible when the preacher comes knocking on your door and says, you know what, we've missed you, or you know what, I'm praying for you, or you know, is there any way I can help you, or some way or another. Don't say, you know what, boy, I wish the preacher would quit bugging me. The reason why the preacher does that is because, number one, I love you. Number two, I care about your future. Number three, I want to have God's blessings upon your life. And I think we all need to strive together. There may be come a time in my life where I need to have a brother or a sister come along beside me and say, you know what, preacher, I can tell you're carrying a real burden in your life, and you might have to carry the load for me. Right. Amen? The children of Israel, they were at the point where they needed to have the blessings of God on their life. And the only way they could do that was they needed to go forward in their lives. The same as we need to go forward in our Christian life. So this morning, I want you to just notice just seven simple things, and then we're gonna be done. We're gonna be done by noon today because the snow is already starting to fall. All right? And I've got to drive the bus back home with all the kids. But I want you to notice, how can I have a successful 2014? How can we strive together? How can I help Brother Bob? And how can Brother Bob help Brother Joe? And how can Brother Joe help Jeremy? And how can Jeremy help Mark? And how can Mark help JR? You see, we all need to strive together. Amen? Amen? We need to try to help one another grow in Christ and try to be more involved in the things of God. How can I strive together to have a successful new year? Number one, I want you to notice what it says in verse number two. And this will apply to each and every one that is here. The Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. If I am going to strive together with my brothers and sisters to have a successful new year, I need to go ahead and act upon God's purpose for me. You ought to write that down. I need to act upon God's purpose for me. You say, what is God's purpose for me? Number one, God's purpose for your life in 2014 is to be saved if you're not saved. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:9 that He tasted death for every man. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you're not saved today, it's God's will for you to get saved. It's God's will for you to come to the place where you understand that you're a sinner under the judgment of God and that Jesus Christ loved you so much that He went to the cross of Calvary and there He bled and there He died and there He suffered as complete payment for your sin and for mine. Understand and act upon God's promise. If you're going to get to the place where God wants you to be, number one, you need to act upon the promise of, or act upon God's purpose for your life, and His purpose for you is to be saved. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, well, preacher, I'm already saved. What's God's purpose for my life? God's purpose for your life in 2014 as a Christian is to grow. Amen. Is to grow. You say, well, how much more can I grow? If you think you've arrived, you haven't even gotten to first base yet. Amen? God wants you to grow in Christ. In 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2, I believe it is, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Every child of God needs to grow. There are three things you need. I tell this to every person that gets saved. You need three things in your life to grow as a Christian. If, fellas, how many of you like a good juicy steak? Like that? Amen, Lyle? I saw him smiling when I said steak. And I tell you what, I like a good old juicy steak and a nice baked potato with sour cream and chives on it. Now I know that's probably not good carbs, but I like it anyway. Amen? And there's just something about a good ribeye steak smothered with grilled mushrooms and onions on it. You know, oh man, I'm getting hungry. Just thinking about it. But you know what? A good steak and potatoes, fellas, will help you to grow strong. It will. Keep your carrot juice. I'll stick with the steak and the potatoes. I have a little carrot juice every once in a while too, but listen, we need to go ahead and if we're going to grow, we need to apply some things to our life. Number one, the Word of God. Three things you need. Like we need three squares a day. If I don't eat three squares a day, my stomach the next day starts reminding me, you missed a meal. You missed a meal. If I fast for a couple days, my stomach on the inside is screaming. Hey, feed me! Feed me! And you know what? If you miss the Word of God for a couple days, your soul ought to be crying out, feed me! You need to have the Word of God inside of your life and reading the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God and hiding the Word of God down inside your heart. There's three things every Christian needs in order to grow. Number one, the Word of God. That'll give you direction. Number two, prayer with God. You need to find a place a place alone, a place away from everything, a place away from the telephone and the TV and the kids, and enter into your closet and get alone with God and begin to pray. When you pray, you have fellowship with God. And then, number three, you need the house of God. You'll never be a successful Christian without the house of God. Because regardless of how much you think you don't need it, or regardless of what people try to tell you, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm saved, I don't need church. They're lying to you. Because the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We ought to love what Christ loves. Amen? The Bible says exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so, number one, we need to understand and act upon God's purpose. God's purpose for my life is to be saved if I'm not saved. God's purpose for my life is to grow in the Lord if I'm not growing. We need to understand God's will. That is something that is God's purpose for our life. It says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5 and verse number 17. What is God's will? It's to live for Him. It's to walk with Him. It's to surrender my all. Look at verse 3 and 4 of this text. Number 1, act upon His purpose. Number 2, act upon His promises. Act upon His promises. You realize in this Bible, there is over 7,500 promises found in the Word of God. Now, not all of them are directly for you. Some of them might have been for Moses or the priesthood, but there's a lot of them that's still for you today. I think if we're going to be successful in this coming year, let's act upon the promises of God. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coasts. By the way, that's from Iraq to the Mediterranean Sea, from Egypt clear up to Lebanon. That all belonged to Israel. And it still belongs to Israel, regardless of the national lines that have been drawn in the sand. God will erase those. Understand and act upon God's promises. A promise of a divine inheritance is what He was talking about to them. And we also have a divine inheritance. It says in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Maybe we ought to go ahead and start acting upon that inheritance as a child of God. Maybe we ought to go ahead and start looking at the things that God has for us in eternity instead of what we have right here and now. As a child of God, we need to act like we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What about a promise of divine presence? That's something to act upon. Act upon the fact of divine presence. Hebrews 13:5, He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. In John 14:16, He said He'd give us another comforter that He may abide with us forever. In Psalm 23:4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Everybody, why? For Thou art with me. So, if we're going to have a blessed 2014, let's move forward and act upon the promises of God. Let's find out what they are and then act upon them. Look at verse 5. I want you to notice the third thing. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We talked about the God's promise. Now we're talking about acting upon God's presence. Verse 5, it says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Moses was one of the Bible refers to him as the meekest man that ever lived. And look at the great things that God did with Moses. Powerful things. That tells me He is there to strengthen us. In 2014, Christian, He is there to strengthen us. When you feel weak, remember, He is strong. When you feel overcome, then you remember this. He is the one that can overcome all things. He is there to strengthen us. He is not only there to strengthen us, He is there to stabilize us. In verse 5, it says, I will not fail thee. God can never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus never fails. That wasn't the exact tune, but yeah, I think you get my point. Amen? That's what the old song says. He will never fail us. I'm glad it says in Titus 1 and verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In Hebrews 6:18, it says, by two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. He is there to strengthen us. He's there to stabilize us. He is there to sustain us. You say, oh no, what's going to happen when Obamacare kicks in and everybody loses their jobs and the economy just takes a dump and we're all out of work? You remember this. God fed the children of Israel for 40 years with manna from heaven. God can go ahead and take care of you and I. Amen? And you remember this also. We lived 4 years through the Carter administration, where interest rates were over 18%, unemployment was close to 20%, and here we are today. We made it. God is greater than any presidency that this country has ever seen. And we need to go ahead and understand that God is the one that will go ahead and sustain us. He said, I will not forsake thee. Verse 5. Jesus told the disciples in John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. Number 5. Or number 4, I want you to notice this. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You need to act upon God's power. Not only act upon His presence, but act upon His power. In Psalm 68, verse 35, it says, O God, Thou art terrible out of Thy holy places. The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people. Blessed be God. In 2 Samuel 22, 33, it says, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. In 1 Chronicles 29, 12, both riches and honor come from Thee. And Thou reignest over all, and in Thy hand is power to get power and might, and in Thy hand to make great and give strength unto all. You know what? We ought to be more concerned about getting as close to God as what we can. Amen. And letting God take care of us than anything else. It ought to be more important than your formal education. Knowing God is more important than a college degree. A college degree will only last for a few years here on earth. Sometimes they're not even worth the paper that they're printed on. You say, well, they'll get me a good job. Maybe. Talk to all those hundreds of thousands of people that graduated with a master's in business administration that can't find work. It means nothing. You know what really makes a difference? Drawing close to God. There was a man by the name of Dallas Billington a number of years ago. He came up from Kentucky. He had a third grade education. Started working in Akron, Ohio, in the rubber factories over there. And started winning people to Christ. I believe it was either Firestone or Goodyear, one of them. I can't remember which one he worked at. The people that started hanging around Dr. Dallas Billington all of a sudden developed a great work ethic, and in the factory, they allowed him to go ahead and set up a chapel, and he preached to the guys on breaks. Out of that, came the great Akron Baptist Temple. third grade education. At times they had over 12,000 in Sunday school. They had the largest independent Baptist church in the country at one time. Third grade education. God took care of him very well. And took care of the staff very well. I'm here to tell you, it's better to draw close to God than what it is to draw close to a formal education. Amen. God will take care of His own. God can sustain His people. Amen. Regardless of the difficult times, God can sustain you. And I think in 2014, we need to act upon the promise, I need to draw close to God because He's the one that gives me strength and power to get wealth. Amen. Number 5, look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. You need to act upon God's program. God's program, He says in verse number 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Brother Don talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. The law was not there. It was not there for the salvation of the soul. It was to point them to the fact that they were a sinner in need of a Redeemer. Wherefore the law, Paul told the Galatians, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. We need to act upon God's program. God's program was the Word of God. They were to be obedient to the Word of God. Because when a person is obedient to the Word of God, they allow themselves to be put in the place where God will bless them. We've all heard the song, God Bless the USA. We were tuning through some channels last night, and on PBS there was the Texas Tenors. I don't know if how many of you have ever heard of those guys. Boy, those guys can sing. Wow. And they did a rendition of God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood or whatever his name was. And it was tremendous. And everybody in the crowd was singing right along, you know, God Bless the USA. And I thought, right, I was about ready to join in with them, you know. And it was good. But you know what? We can't demand God to bless the USA. We have to beg God to bless the USA. And we have to allow ourselves to be put in the position where God will bless the USA. You see, just because we demand it from God doesn't mean it's going to happen. And a lot of people are there, they're saying, you know what? God bless America! God bless America! Is He? I think not. You see, when we act upon God's program, being obedient to God's Word, we place ourselves in the position to where God will bless us. But God is not going to bless the adulterer. He's not going to bless the drug addict. He's not going to bless the drunk. He's not going to bless those that are cursing and using God's name in vain. God's not going to bless them. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about how that God's hand is against them. God bless the USA. Why don't we say, God help us to be blessable. God help me and God help Grace Baptist Church to be blessable. Amen. Because listen, many times we are not in the place where God can bless us because our heart is far from Him. Our acts are contrary to His will and way. In Luke 10, verse 27, and He answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You see, I think that's talking about being obedient to God's Word. God's program is being obedient to God's Word. God's program is evangelizing the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to notice verse number 8. Not only should we act upon God's purpose and God's promise and God's presence and God's power and God's program, but also God's precepts. God's precepts. Where do you get direction for your life? I hope it's not the horrible scope. You ought to go ahead and get your direction for your life from the Word of God. He said, this book of the law, right here, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to have good success? You become a part of this book and let this book become a part of you. All of a sudden, you're going to find out just exactly how God blesses. James chapter number 1, verse number 22 tells us we're not just to be a hearer of the Word, we're to be a doer also. In Luke chapter number 11, verse number 28, Jesus rebuked a woman because she said, blessed is the woman that basically gave you nurse and that raised you. And this woman, in her emotional frenzy for meeting Christ, all of a sudden started glorifying Mary. And Jesus responded this way in Luke chapter number 11, verse 28. But He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Amen? Act upon God's precepts. Pray, memorize Scripture, worship, witness, give. We start acting upon God's precepts, God will start blessing. That's what I want in 2014. Jordan, that's what I want for your life in 2014. Will, that's what I want God to do in your life in 2014. And Jerry, I want God to do that in your life. Amen? I want God to bless His people. I want that for Gary and for Liz and Dee Dee, Ruby and Royce. And Lyndon, I want God's blessing upon us all. But we better go ahead and act upon God's precepts, and that's the Word of God. Amen. And then we need to, verse 16 and 17. Notice what it says. Now here he's talking to the 2.5 tribes that said, we're not going to go in and possess, but we'll go ahead and go to war. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us will we do, and whither thou sendest we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as He was with Moses. That tells me this. I need to apply a personal obedience to my life. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, there's a lot of miserable Christians out there in the world. And you don't have to be miserable in 2014. You can be happy in the Lord. But you'll never be happy in the Lord until you learn to trust and obey God. Amen? God has commanded us to be saved. He's invited us to come unto Him. Matthew 11, verse 28. He's commanded the believer to follow Christ. In Luke 9, verse 23, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Let's apply personal obedience to our life. They said, Joshua, whatever God's told you to do, we're going to go ahead and follow suit. The only thing we asked is, as God spoke to Moses, we want God to speak to you. And as God led Moses, we want God to lead you. You know, that tells me they were all striving together, weren't they? It wasn't just one Israelite. It wasn't just Joshua. It just wasn't Caleb. It wasn't just one Jewish person. They said, everybody, let's go ahead and let's work together and let's have the blessings of God on our life and let's go forward for what God has for us in the future. Real success is not according to what the world bids as success. By the way, may I remind you of Hannah Montana? And everybody thought she was such a cute little girl, and I said, watch her. Watch her. And all of a sudden, I don't know how, but I was on Facebook the other day, and this girl popped on with hardly any clothes on, head half shaved, and it was Miley Cyrus. Wicked. I said the same thing about the other blonde bimbo that was out there a few years back. Oh, Britney Spears, that was what her name was. And I said, you know what? There was right back here where Brother John was sitting. There was a girl. There was a lady sitting back there, along with two young girls. And I said to the people, you ought not let your daughters listen to Britney Spears because they're going to lead your kids down the wrong road. And by the way, it doesn't take long to go ahead and to see what's really on the inside. The world calls that success. They call that success jumping around screaming down a microphone in your underwear. That's success. They can have it. Amen? They interviewed Magic Johnson, and he was bragging about the fact that how that he had had a relationship with over 2,000 different women. And the world calls that success. They can have it. Amen? I don't want that type of success. Success, real success, is being where God wants you to be, doing exactly what God wants you to do, exactly when God wants you to do it. That's what success is, because that will last an eternity. See where Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears is in the next 50 years. Real success is doing the will of God regardless of the cost. And each of us need to strive together to have a successful new year. The question this morning is, are you willing to strive with me? I want 2014 to be the best year that Grace Baptist Church has ever seen. That can only happen as if it's not just me, it's all of us together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. How about you? Are you content with the status quo? Happy with your spiritual life? You know, I'm not happy with my spiritual life. I want to get closer to God. I want to do more. I want to become a better soul winner. I want to read the Bible more. I want to know more about God. I hope that's your case too. And let's encourage one another and help one another to get to the point where God wants us to be. Let's bow our heads, please. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse number 30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." I hope that you will strive together as Joshua did for the cause of Christ for this new year. I wonder if there's some that could join me this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to strive for the gospel of Christ with you." Maybe you can come and join me this morning in prayer. Today, if you need to go ahead and trust Christ, we invite you to come and trust Christ today. Let someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that Christ is yours. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come?